My other question, kind of unrelated. You've been nominated for a whole bunch of Grammys. Like, how do you feel about that? Are you excited about it? Were you surprised?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was definitely surprised to get 5. I'm looking forward to the Grammys, but it's almost like having to turn your nominations in. Like, whether or not you get Grammys for the categories you're nominated in, like, you have to give your ticket stub back. Like, here's my nomination stub. Do I get one? No. Oh, can I have the nomination back? You know, in a way, you almost never want the Grammys to happen, because it's like getting a nomination, and I think I said before, getting the nomination and not yet having the Grammys read is like getting a girl's phone number but not yet calling. You know?
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jessica. John, next you're going to be speaking with Mark at the Daily Orange, Syracuse University. Mark, go ahead and ask a question for John.
Hi, John. It's Mark here with my friend Aaron. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I read that you and Justin Timberlake actually collaborated on a song called Done. What was this experience like, and will that song ever see the light of day?
I don't know. I mean, I've gotten together with several artists informally, just kind of strumming a guitar and singing around on it. And it's a great chorus. It's a good chorus. I actually think that it's probably, I don't think it would be right for him anymore. I think it might have been, you know, we've gotten together a couple times. And that's the fun thing about music. Sometimes it makes it, sometimes it doesn't. But you have the bond with other artists, you know.
And, I understand.
You know, it's, when you work with other artists, it's really up to them as to how much they're kind of spurred on by what you're doing. And I'd like to think that if Justin was dying for it, he would have said, hey, I got to put down a record. But I don't think it would fit on a record anymore. It's part of an older sound for both of us. You know?
And I also read the Continuum was going to be a double album.
Yeah.
What's going to go on with all the tracks that didn't make it? Or will they ever be released? Or the shows from Eddie's Attic or from last December? Or
yeah,
anything?
There's a lot of stuff that we kind of have in the vault, so to speak. But I also realize that it's very difficult to maintain a really solid base of like quality stuff that's coming out. So with Continuum coming out exactly as I want it to be, I just don't want another record that I don't have as much quality control over to kind of be the next record that comes out, you know. Each time you put a piece of work out, you are indebted to that work by having to put out something as good or better next time. I really believe that. Or at least so radically different that nobody can even put the two together. So I just want to be really careful about following up a record like Continuum with, you know, an out-of-tune, off-pitch, you know, arrhythmic kind of live acoustic performance. You know, that kind of worries me. I'm a quality control freak now.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
And, John, next you're going to be speaking with Rebecca at the Cornell Daily Sun. Rebecca, go ahead and ask a question for John.
Hi, John.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you doing?
In the past, with your solo work, you've catered more to a pop audience, while with the John Mayer Trio, in contrast, you've emphasized your blues roots.
Yeah.
What were your intentions with Continuum, and what does the future hold for both aspects of your music?
The Continuum record is kind of the result of having burned off a lot of what I needed to play in the Trio. I'd gone 3 or 4 years into a career that I was neglecting a certain side of my playing and thinking and writing, and to go straight into that and just commit to that. Really, when I was done with the Trio, I had then successfully played pop music and really kind of guitar-based rock music. And with both of those things under my belt, I could go into the studio and make Continuum in a really genuine way. I had already written the calling card for being a guitar player in the Tri record. And it kind of made the Continuum album very, very genuine. It wasn't trying to be in any place like, please know I can play the guitar, please know I can play the guitar. and where the future holds, you know, I mean, I think I'm in two bands, you know. I think John Mayer Trio will rise again. I think when you're playing with great people and everybody's busy, it's really difficult to get around each other. But there will be we'll do a studio record, I'm sure of it.
All right, my second question is kind of unrelated. How did you get involved with Music Lessons with John Mayer and Esquire?
That was to the credit of a woman at the record company who spoke to. I had mentioned to her in passing that I would like to write it. I wish I could have like a column in Esquire, and she got it for me. And then it kind of became like 2 years of homework. You turn your paper, you turn your column in, and then you get about 4 days, and they start asking you to send your next one in. The cycle is pretty crazy. Yeah.
Do you plan on continuing that anytime in the future?
I don't know. I could probably pick it up again someday. I just think the blog is so much. I can be so much more reactionary with a blog. I can talk about something that happened yesterday. I can talk about a record that just came out, and I don't have to worry about whether that record's going to be old by the time the magazine comes out. You know.
Thank you.
I just really like the kind of immediacy of the blog.
Okay, Rebecca, we're going to have to move on. And, John, you're going to be speaking next with Carrie at the Norfolk Daily News.
Okay.
Carrie, go ahead and ask a question for John.
Hello?
Maybe Carrie. Aware generation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say it again.
You're part of the first emotionally aware generation.
Yeah.
And how, you know, we were never really told we were going to get older. So I'm wondering, now that you're kind of pushing 30, what kind of changes are you seeing in yourself? You know, whether that's musically, personally, spiritually?
I'm kind of slowing down in a cool way. I'm kind of like simmering down. I remember being really intense about things when I was in my early 20s. Because you're really kind of... experimenting with the information you've just learned. When you get into your early 20s, you're coming into all this knowledge and information and sense, and you really kind of want to play with your new toy, you know? You get really into wanting to play with it. So you get like a lot of college kids, and they get very verbose, and I just can't connect like that anymore because I've done that. I've experimented with the knowledge that I have. But what happens as you get older is it kind of compacts. It kind of gets very kind of crystalline, and then all of a sudden you just kind of... I'm a little more zen. I'm not completely zen, but I'm a little more zen. I don't think I would have wanted to hang out with myself when I was 22.
So are you kind of in the settling down type mode where you want to be at home a little more?
I definitely have the instinct to do that, but I also understand that this is a really important record for me. It's the first record that I've gotten this right, you know. And I also, one of the things that have also happened from getting older is understanding that, you know, you can kind of see the long view of things, you know. I'm going to be around for a while. Something doesn't go right today, I'm going to be around for a while. Not even as a musician, but just as a person, you know. It'll be fine by next week or next year or whatever. I tend to see the overall picture better now.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
So, John, next you're going to be speaking with Lauren with the Brooklyn College Excelsior.
Great.
Lauren?
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was just wondering what are some of the craziest or strangest experiences you've had on tour so far?
Well, that's crazy. People would be very surprised to learn that I don't have a very crazy tour. Everyone on my tour were very kind of family guys and relaxed and, you know, kind of matured and mellowed out. I would not last a day on a rock tour. A young rock band. I don't think I would last very long with it. I just feel like people would always be stealing my stuff or something. You know what I mean? I feel like if I was in Fall Out Boy or something, I wouldn't be able to keep my nice things on the road because, like, the girlfriend of the friend of the bass player would be hanging out drunk in the dressing room and picked up my really nice camera and dropped it. Or, you know, it's like what a terrible analogy. But I feel like... like everything's kind of cooled out. But I do want to satisfy the question. I just, like, craziest?
Or strangest.
Or strangest.
Nothing? No strange fans? Nothing?
Oh, fans. There's something inherently strange about being a super fan anyway. I mean, any super fan, it's kind of some interesting stuff that happens. But that's what you want. I mean, you want people to be so into it that they kind of lose their mind a little bit. I would really have to think about it. I would really, really have to think about what would be that strange.
I see. I guess for my second question, were some of your goals or hopes for this new album fulfilled?
Yes. And all kind of on the musical level.
Yeah.
Being on stage every night and having a set list to where you can look down at it and go, oh, yes, Belief is coming up. Oh, yeah, Gravity's coming. Oh, Vultures is coming. Oh, cool, 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 you know. That's all I really wanted was to have a record that unfolded on stage the way this one does. You know, and it also, I've really felt the feedback of this affecting people in a way that my first couple records haven't. Like, there's an emotional connection this record makes that is not blocked by the cerebral portion of myself, which I think I may have suffered from in the past.
And one last question, but since you love New York...
Sorry, I've got to cut you off because, just to be fair to everybody, we got to keep to two questions.
Okay.
But thank you.
All right, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thanks.
And, John, it looks like we're going to be heading up to our last one with Sarah.
Great.
At the Collegiate at Grand Rapids. Sarah, go ahead and ask a question for John.
Hi, John.
Hi, Sarah. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I just have... What was your most embarrassing moment on stage?
Most embarrassing moment on stage? Huh.
If you had one.
Thankfully, the shows are pretty well drawn out and have a lot of crew people making sure that the show goes off well. Well, there was the old story when I was touring, I was opening for Guster at the Tabernacle, and I had been putting tea bags inside of my Poland Spring water bottle. So I was thinking that even though I couldn't make hot tea, I could at least put the bag in there and then keep the string out over the top of the bottle. And for whatever reason, the string came off the tea bag, and I swallowed it, but not all the way. So it was stuck in my throat, and I just had to level with people, like, hey, I gotta cough this thing up right now. It was hacking on stage.
Right.
It's pretty embarrassing. I don't get embarrassed incredibly easy, so that's why I don't have a quick answer for you.
That's good. So then how did you recover from that?
Well, the recovery is always the worst part. You know, like, if you forget a lyric, the recovery can take the whole show. One of the first nights I went up on stage, I sang the wrong first line in Belief, and it has still affected me to this day, which is about 2 weeks later, where I'm still thinking too much on the cognitive kind of level of, like, don't forget that next line, don't forget that next line. It's, when you can be reflexive on stage and just have it be second nature, that's great. But when that slips up, for whatever reason, your brain can fry when it's time to have to really analyze everything. So recovery sucks.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. So, John, I think that's it for everyone today.
Thanks very much. It's perfect.
And thank you to all the writers. We're going to be putting this all on an audio file that we can send to you as well in case you have any issues or need that as well to back up your stories. And thank you so much, John, for spending the time with all of us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it, too.
All right.
Take care. Bye now.